Hi, I'm Megan Riley, and I am not your normal relationship and sex coach. Remember how he used to look at you? Let's get that back. This isn't going to be about texting the right thing or manipulating him. It's about changing you and you becoming more you. And I am going to be here to help every step of the way. This is the Ignite the Fire podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Connie Lawrence, and we talked about healing from sexual trauma, and this conversation has just been, it's been months in the making, and really, I say sweet all the time, it is sweet, and I'm really excited. We started this conversation about Big Love February, and it was about this time last month, and both have been working parallel to it before sharing it with all of you. And now I think is the big reveal. And over the last month, it really has been altering for me, has changed my daily routine, has changed how I'm working with people, has changed how I'm relating with people. And then our friendship has really, really blossomed. So Connie, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Megan. I am so excited to be here. As always, excited to be with you.
Tell me about Big Love.
It's funny because I think that the topic that we're going to approach today was also demonstrated between us and with us, because I'm not sure which one of us started the idea, but what I remember about it was kind of coming up with this idea about, well, gee, sometimes it's not fun to be a single woman and, you know, have to face whatever you face in Valentine's Day. And then, you know, this conversation kind of morphed into, let's take a 2.0. You know, a bigger, more global version of what is love, what is soul love, what is quenching love, what is delicious, divine love in so many forms. And truly what happened, at least for me on this end, was, you know, I have a special love of brains and biohacking, and I've been doing some real deep dive into it, which I'm sure we'll get to. But the beauty was that this whole process unfolded between you and I in that way, in that it's hard to tell where one idea started and the other one, who came up with what idea, but it became a third party. You know, it was really a collaborative, co-created, beautiful thing that just had a life of its own and filled me up too. I just got excited and inspired, and every day I was kind of diving into more ideas.
Well, first, what did you do?
I discovered a book called Habits of a Happy Brain, which really intrigued me. The subtitle is Retrain Your Brain to Boost Your Serotonin, Dopamine, Oxytocin, and Endorphin. This really intrigued me. And part of it is that it's been piggybacked onto Game Changers. I stumbled into Game Changers in our coaching program. And I fell in love with Game Changers because this is the guy, the bulletproof guy, who really is into biohacking and the things that we can do to alter our internal landscape, our chemicals, our hormones, our moods, etc. So I really was intrigued by that. So when this book came along, I got even more excited. And I've always really geeked out over science. And for me, it's one thing to kind of know something about the science. It's another thing to be able to apply it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's where the magic is. You know, how do you actually work with these hormones and chemicals? How do you actually alter your mood? How do you, you know, jack yourself up with excitement when you have to go do something? You know, that's to me what's exciting. So I got caught in the fun idea of, what could we play with if we could learn a little bit better? What does oxytocin really feel like? How do we know when we're getting hit of it? And then, you know, what can we do to nourish it? Or what can we do to increase dopamine and excitement and all the other good stuff?
So what happened?
What happened is I kind of went on an adventure.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that I began looking for, what are the ways that we can just alter how we feel? So some of it was what I read, and I'm still diving into the book and I'm still playing with it. And I really want to have the next couple of weeks be a learning lab, like you and I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So we experiment with, how do you pick yourself up again. How do you get excited when you're feeling draggy, you know, that kind of thing. But the other thing was, it was really curious was, you know, I do spend time on social media, and I began really looking for nuggets of things that really are versions of love. For example, working with a charity, contributing to something, contributing a few dollars to a cause stimulates oxytocin. A nice little dance party in the morning, you know, stimulates a little bit of dopamine, a little bit of endorphin. So I was kind of in this adventure of stumbling into things that reminded me or were brand new of ways that we get a bigger feeling of love than just romantic love.
Ah, Anne, how do you feel?
Well, you know, really pretty good, you know. I feel really, really good. And I have to say, it was really nice that we shared this adventure.
Yeah.
Just what makes it bigger and more vibrant and more exciting, the fact that we could volley back and forth ideas and giggles and things that we were discovering.
It was pretty epic month, and life happened. Things still kept happening. And I found a muscle in, if I started to go off course, if I started to notice what I'll call withdraw from oxytocin, if I started to notice those things, it was so much easier to come back. And then the really cool thing for me is our friendship and how that just blossomed during this time. I don't have a lot of experience with safe female friendship and superficial and, you know, just not safe, not transformed, not self-disclosing, not any of those things. And what happened during this month, my intention, I use the word bathing a lot. How is it that I can bathe myself in these feel-good natural chemicals? And what's going to happen to my life out of that? And that's when our friendship, which has been over a year, really during this time, is so extra, like blossom and sweetness and a sweet perfume and safe and fabulous.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I was doing a little bit of a, before I knew we were, you know, doing this podcast, I dug back into some of the things I really love about female relationships, and what do they feel like when they're really humming, you know, when you're synced, when your brains are synced and your ideas are synced in it. And I think, you know, what I want always for listeners to be aware of, because many of us have not been fortunate to have close women friends. I believe truly that it's women friends that really hold us up in a buoyant way. It's women friends that really can, you know, feed our souls and make us feel included and surrounded when they're healthy. And I went back and looked at the traits that we say that we feel when relationships are working. And, you know, one of them is just a little more zest, you know, just a little more energy, a little bit of excitement, a feeling of I want more. A feeling of, gee, this is great. What's next? You know, do we get together to meet for coffee or whatever? That feeling of, oh yeah, I want more of this. And the feeling of feeling just a little more buoyant, like supported, like I'm a better version of myself somehow. Like I have a sense of myself. So that's been my experience. And it's lovely that, you know, we've had so much to share.
Yes. I always look when I am complaining about something in my life, that's a sign for what is it that I can create. And coming up to February, so it was a little over a month ago, but coming up to February, I was not looking forward to it at all. And for me, it's not about being single. It's expectations, it's miscommunications, it's upsets, it's things not said, it's ulterior motives. It seems to get amplified around Valentine's Day and around February. And then here in the mountains, February is when the wind really starts to blow and I get a little grumpy. So if I were to take a complaint, like this is just something that I have to deal with and this is just something that I have to tolerate, what else could it be? And that's where, for me, this was born. How could we create something that is full? How is it if this podcast and my program, Ignite the Fire, is about filling our own cup? How is it that we can do that and do that in relationship as well? So then coming to romantic relationship, we are not needy and aching. And if that's for touch, if it's for attention, if it's for sex, doesn't matter what that is, we're actually coming full to the relationship.
Love it.
So what else came up? Because you went in a different direction in focusing on brain love and focusing on chemicals. What started to shift for you?
I would say here's what one of the things that happened for me, because I was really busy. I kept a theme going on my Facebook page and Instagram. So it forced me to really stretch my mind and my imagination about what are all the things that are lovable, if you will. What are the things that really stimulate me or stimulate us as humans to just feel better? So for instance, music, you know, that's been one of my, I think that's like the world's oldest biohack, is music just very quickly alters our state. But I began really on a quest. And to be honest with you, I feel like I'm just beginning. Like I'm really at the front edge of this experiment and this laboratory, because I really want to take some time and dig deep and really live into new habits, you know, new things, new, you know, for instance, in Habits of a Happy Brain, she talks about alter your workout regularly as a way to stimulate endorphin. So there's a lot of things in here I haven't even touched yet. What it forced me to do is really look at all the different things that stimulate even a moment of good feeling or generosity or altruism, feeling kind toward others or included in a group. I did a post on shared mindfulness, which is hard to find anything on. Years ago, I published an article on shared mindfulness, which is really that state when two people are observing something together. So they're having a shared observation. And usually it gets really funny because you start describing what this, my daughter's actually, she's so good at this. So she's actually the one that taught me, you know, she's the one that led me down this path. But, you know, she's that one who will smell a candle in the candle store and pass it over and say, "Mom, you know, this smells like celery mixed with men's aftershave or something." And she'll hand it to me and I'll be like, bam, that is so right on. And so we have this game going of observing and, you know, paying attention to sensory stuff in the moment. But things like that, that we kind of do that just expand our sense of love and inclusion. So I would say this month took me on an adventure to look for more things that normally wouldn't be in our view.
So music or workout. What else?
Definitely always working on the morning routine to get myself in the right frame. For example, I have a recording of my voice of what it is that my goal is, you know, or things about me, recording of who I am. And then I just kind of keep playing with this routine, working in yoga in the morning and a walk. For me, it's a play and experiment.
How?
You know, dance breaks.
Oh, yeah. Before we started this podcast, I had a wobble break.
You have to.
Well, I've been thinking too, and recovering from adrenal fatigue and recovering from some really amazing things happening in my life and my business, but approaching it from a masculine view and a masculine approach and always feeling behind. Getting very much into who's the Gary guy? I don't know. He always looks kind of cracked out in his videos. Really amazing content. But it's very much about the hustle. Gotta do this. Gotta stay up all night. Gotta. And there was a point where I was drinking not 2 cups of Bulletproof, 2 pots of Bulletproof every single day to get going and to turn on the brain and to go. And it was exhausting. And shut down the adrenals. And that's where I kind of took a break from this podcast. You may have noticed a little difference. And then rebranded into, okay, now how can we do this from a feminine approach? And how can we lead the business from a feminine approach? And what is that exactly? Because there's lots of talk about lean back into your feminine, girl, which actually means nothing. Just, you know, like, okay, let's talk about what it actually means. What does it mean to get into feminine? And this, I think, is it. Mm-hmm. I think that it is coming from a place of well-being, not coping, not sitting down to meditate because I have to, not doing 3 Instagram posts a day because I have to, not drinking green juice because I have to, and not following my biome exactly because I have to. But what is it? Where's the flow? Where's the well-being? Where's that sense of well-being? And it really has changed everything. Changed my day, changed how I start my day, changed how well I sleep. I don't need 2 pots of Bulletproof every single day. I don't need to be doing a masculine approach to going to yoga. Oh God, you know, you're like flooded with cortisol to get there on time and then got to go to yoga class.
Right?
So if I can share that and share what it could be like instead, and maybe even save some people from adrenal fatigue, some women from adrenal fatigue. Yes.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, at the risk of your listeners thinking this sounds corny, I have to say it looks really good on you.
Oh.
Because you have really emerged in a feminine way as a leader. And I know what you're describing. It looks very good on you. And, you know, it's almost an organic, more organic way of letting things emerge. My supervisor said something really great to me one time. And she said, you know, there are a lot of paths to becoming a healer, but I think the most sacred is when the path comes to you. I think there is something so wise and divine about that. I think that's the beauty of a feminine spirit, is allowing things to emerge in their time.
Yes. Emerge in their time, blossom in their time, allow in their time. And then there's hypervigilance. And as club members, we know that. And I know that so many of you listening know that and know what that's like. And it's not only hypervigilance, it's like trying to figure it all out. If this happens at this point, then I can do this. And then this will happen. And then this will happen. But then if this doesn't happen, then I have to do this and this and this and this and this to get the same results. There's acting with inspired action, which I know is kind of a term, but once you get to the space of okay and well-being and safe and feeling wrapped in a blanket of worthiness, things have a tendency to just happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's that magic point. You know, I love that you recommended to your listeners, Jeff Walker.
Oh, yeah.
So I revisited Jeff Walker, and I know, you know, he talks about you can't rely on hope marketing. And he's right. We have to do the groundwork and the legwork and the details and the back end of websites and all that kind of stuff. And I think what you're saying is really the bigger other side to it, which mm-hmm. is things emerge. Things emerge that surprise us and delight us.
And if systems, so systems like a launch or systems like websites, systems like funnels are masculine, then if masculinity is in service to the feminine, we could actually be served by those systems instead of where I was. And I know a lot of women business owners and a lot of women with a side hustle is trying to control everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being a driver, I know I've spent decades in that mode, mm-hmm. driving, controlling, pushing mm-hmm. up the hill and having a second pot of Bulletproof. Yeah, I know just what you mean.
Yes. First, we are in the lab of this and of how to create this, how to create a lifestyle of this, what we're talking about. And it's not positive thinking and it's not doing certain poses to get into a certain mindset. It's coming from and then reverse engineer. How is it that we come from that place of well-being and live our life there where we will get derailed and things do go off? And then how do we get back?
Mm-hmm.
And then We are thinking about inviting you and how we would do that, inviting you women to join us in a couple of months after we get the lab all worked out.
Yes, I am wildly excited about all this because, you know, I really think there are just super practical things we can do. And look, this is not like what we were just talking about before. This isn't like we're trying to control, hyper vigilant and control everything. However, if we can start to play with those elements that can boost us up, that can make us relax, when you can become more aware of, you know, this book, Habits of a Happy Brain, she's really good at describing, you know, what does it feel like when you get a little bit of oxytocin? What's it feel like when you have a drop in oxytocin? You know, there's this kind of sudden sense, uh-oh, something's going to go wrong here.
A lot of people are talking about oxytocin, and a lot of people don't really know what it is. So what does oxytocin feel like when we have a release of oxytocin? What does that feel like?
Well, if I were to say what it feels like for me, it feels like there's a little bit of a cozy feeling. And I would say just somehow the world feels safe. I can trust people. People can trust me. There's a little floor underneath me. Things are going to be okay. And, you know, a giant dose of oxytocin, I always say what comes up for me as a, you know, oxytocin bath is raising my daughter. I'm a single mom, and raising my daughter, there were years where we had just old couches in the family room and old blankets, and we would go get romantic comedy movies and just have blankets and pillows all over the place watching, you know, Hugh Grant and eating whatever, popcorn. And that was so yummy. Like, to me, that's the ultimate, or as we know, like, you know, snuggling with your loved one, your beloved, or lovemaking. I mean, those are all like the big hits of oxytocin. So that to me is like on the one end. And then the opposite is all of a sudden when there's a drop in oxytocin, it can feel all of a sudden like not panic, but the sense of foreboding, like, uh-oh, you know, shit's going to happen here. So I think that might be a start.
Yes. Well, I can relate it to withdraw because I know withdraw, but it's actually a chemical reaction of something is not right. And I start to feel, I'm shaking my hands now. I start to feel like the floor is not as stable. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I start to question myself a lot more. All those places where so many people spend all day in.
Yeah, I've had whole years. I spend whole years there, right? I mean, you know, we've all had these dark places. And so, yeah, I mean, those places that I know very well, they're like the floor drops out and there's kind of like, uh-oh. It's like the opposite of trust. There's just a sort of mistrust. Or suspicion or self-doubt, or is that what you're
saying? Yes. And then how about dopamine?
Well, dopamine, and I'm really just super, I'm making this just so simple, but one of the best writers about hormones says dopamine is sort of eager anticipation. So it's like looking forward. So the most jacked up moments of dopamine might be like when you were a kid, the day before a holiday, the day before your birthday, the day before Christmas or whatever holiday you celebrated, when you're squealing, you know, you're running around the house squealing with excitement. So you probably had more dopamine than blood in your system at that point. But the small bits of it are this sort of eagerness, this sort of excitement about what is about to happen. And it's more of looking forward than what's actually happening. It's like, I'm going to get to, you know, I'm excited about this thing that's coming up.
Well, I'm just thinking as you're talking, I read a book several years ago, Everything I Needed to Know About Business, I Learned from the Grateful Dead. And they really were brilliant. I mean, they were brilliant about how they made just everyone lifelong customers. And if I think about how much money I have spent on the Grateful Dead or any kind of Dead spinoff, it's pretty impressive over the years. But leading up to that kind of an event, leading up to the show, that sense of anticipation and looking forward to and thinking about what songs and thinking about who's going to be there and what kind of food will be there and how what we'll do after. And it turns into this whole event. And then the experience is always really great, but it's the lead up to it that I really look forward to.
It's the lead up is almost usually better than the event.
Yes.
Right? Because it's like this excitement, this anticipation, this eagerness, this tingling sensation of what is about to happen.
So how do we create more of that?
Well, again, I want to say I'm really at the front edge of this. So I feel like we'll know more in several weeks or months when we're at the end of our deep dive. But she talks about some things you can do for dopamine. She's real big on music and dance. Learning new things. The other thing that she talks about with dopamine is celebrations. So celebrate tiny things. Celebrate really small things, especially adding to that, if you have a task you really hate. So if you're going to be doing your taxes, break it into very small pieces. Like, yay, I just printed out all the credit card forms. Ta-da! So you count very small wins and don't forget to celebrate them. And I'm sure there are more, but those are a couple that jumped out at me.
Oh, that's good. And I've been thinking about and talking about dopamine, maybe not in something to activate, but more like, how is it that companies are using dopamine with us right now? Like social media is using dopamine. Mm-hmm. Slot machines use dopamine. Shopping uses dopamine. Looking forward to those things, as in not really a positive way, but this is something that we can do to increase that. Mm-hmm. Do you think, because we if we look at our friendship, just has really blossomed and grown into something that is, it's like the space in between. There's you and there's I, and then there's this space. Do you think that it already was there? We already were connected. We already were on. But this experience, this big love experience, having that, do you think that contributed to what's happening?
Yes. Oh, I totally do. I feel like that somehow it's like a parallel process, we would call it, right? It's like we're sort of sharing ideas. We've got a sort of a pitching and catching going on. We're sort of feeding each other's creativity. And it's not competitive. None of that, competitiveness. It's just kind of all, it's really play. It's really just, to me, it's pure play. And, we've also sent each other signals of safety.
Yes.
Because we have regular contact. Mm-hmm. We send some messages, and it's like you can lean on those messages. You can count on those messages. It really is an enactment, in my view. It's an enactment of big love. It's like, this is what it looks like. We're in it. We're in it, and we're creating it, and we're kind of naming it as we go.
One thing that I love is that I have the freedom and the safety to say, I love the shit out of you. Right? I'm not concerned that you're going to take it the wrong way. I'm not concerned that you are worried that I was thinking about you while I was standing in line at TJ Maxx. I'm not worried about any of those things. And so I can just say it. And that's new to me.
And I will confess, it's new to me to also be able to hear it, to be also be able to feel loved and not get uncomfortable or feel like, uh-oh, this is too close. She's going to find out who I really am, but there's more comfort in saying, I love you. I can't wait to get your message. Or I was thinking about you again in this situation. And for me, it's like, it's expanding my capacity both ways on the giving and the taking.
Yes.
Or receiving, I should say.
Here's a thought, because I know there's a lot of women listening who have female friends. And a lot of women listening who have friends that they have girls' night with, and some that they have good friendships with, but where the space in between starts to flow and that the entity in between starts to flow, they do not have. And really wanting that too, wanting connection, wanting intimacy, wanting that. Rather than go out and meet some people or try to find people that you are like, or try to find, instead of like ideal client work, ideal friend work, try big love instead.
Yeah.
Those connections and those friendships really happen because you are in the space of big love.
That's a beautiful idea.
That's an experiment. We're going to come back around to this. Well, here's homework. If there were the experience of what we're talking about, oxytocin, dopamine, we should go back to adrenaline. If you could cultivate that in your life, not necessarily all the time, but just little pockets of that feel good, safe, anticipatory feeling, then what happens with especially female relationships?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Here's a thought. One possibility with friends is to cultivate a skill called stay listening. So this is a term that was made up by a woman named Patty Wiffler, who developed Hand in Hand, which is a nonprofit that helps families create strong bonds. So stay listening is kind of like it sounds. She spells it like one word. And it's that ability to just listen without giving advice, without trying to ask the questions that move, like Socratic questioning, where you try to move somebody somewhere, but just listening, just being with. Because we don't get that. And that's the juice, that's the right brain to right brain connections that we love. Our brains are so happy when right hemispheres are connected. That's when we feel like we're clicking. That's where we feel like, ooh, we're synced. Our brains are synced. This is really cool. We, you know, you get me, I get you. We're playing off each other. So that brain syncing is when we can leave our left hemisphere out of it. Because the left hemisphere wants to fix everything. It wants the answers. It wants to give advice. It wants to try to make everything better. And the right hemisphere, if we can just put that left hemisphere aside and just sync up right to right, that's where, those are the peak moments in relationships where two people feel like they get each other.
How do we get there?
So here's what Patty Wiffler says. What parents need is they need some friends, other parents, that they can ask to be stay listeners. So, you know, it's like, you know, Judy, can you just, you know, I'd like to kind of start this thing that we just listen to each other and we can complain all we want about our kids and nobody offers advice. Nobody has a fix. So you just kind of just stay with me. Just listen to me. Let me, you know, you just kind of, you know, co-growl with me or just, you know, just be with me and we'll just kind of be in this together. And that's like the paradox, the ultimate paradox of helping people feel better is not to fix them, but just to be with them and share the feeling with them. That's when we attune. It's attunement that heals brains. Really, not solutions and fixing and advice and here's what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody just to get us. Somebody
yes.
To say, oh God, I get it. I hate being stuck in traffic. Oh, that's so maddening, isn't it? That's all you need to hear. And then you can breathe again. So it's that golden empathy that's just salve on all the wounds. And so if you're lucky enough to have a friend who you could try it with each other, maybe you already do. Because usually we're drawn to people, whether we know it or not, we're drawn to the people that we feel safest with and that we feel that we have some resonance with. If somebody wanted to try an experiment, that's a great one for kind of expanding our feeling of safety, a feeling of being understood, and that's all. And then we're no longer alone. Because for women, it's the feeling of being alone really that kills us, right?
Yeah. And not heard.
And not heard.
And misunderstood and judged and assessed and always holding something back.
Yes. You know, when you're stuck in traffic and you're mad because you could see, you know, you could see right around and the traffic was clear and you're stuck, you're trying to get this thing. What you want is somebody to say, oh, I hate that. That's so maddening. You don't want somebody to say, well, why did you take 271? You should have taken Rathbone Road.
Or someone to say, well, next time you should do this.
No. Yeah.
And why don't you breathe in this way so you're not so aggravated? And yeah.
Right? It's paradoxical in that if you just say, oh, I hate that. It's so, makes you want to throw something, you know. That's the moment where you go, oh, phew, somebody gets me. And then then you move right on to the next thing. So stay listening and just empathy and understanding people and allowing them to be safe where they are and not having to fix them. If friends can step up and do that, or if you can do that for a friend, it's just solid gold for our nervous system.
Wow. And that feeling of it is going to be okay. It's a really good place to start. And gosh, if we could do that, not just friends, but if we could do that at work, there's some homework.
Yeah, you got a lot of homework now.
I'm so honored to find the right people at the right time, the right teachers, the right books, the right mentors, the right, and this has been really, I guess about 6 weeks, the conversation over the last 6 weeks, where everything has changed. My daily routine, my physical practice, my spiritual practice has all shifted. And then how it's showing up is feeling a lot better, healing the body, healing the adrenals, and just more money as well. More ideal clients where I get up in the morning and I think, oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk to this person. It's really, and then my dogs. You can probably hear them in the background. I found the right trainer for them and they have transformed in the last month. So I think that we're really onto something. And then if you look at different teachers, Joseph Campbell, follow your bliss. Abraham, find the feel-good place. Everything from the Bible to spiritual teachings to ancient teachings are talking about emotion. And I think that this is it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I want to say, too, that I feel like the lucky one here in this friendship. As we're talking, I'm realizing the mystery of the last month or so, I have slept like a baby. I have not slept like this. I'm power sleeping. I get up in the morning and go, oh my God, another night of power sleep. I didn't really put this together. Also, I went through a big ordeal with my kitchen, having to do a very quick reno. And there's no such thing as a cheap kitchen renovation.
Right.
This wasn't major, but it was still unexpected money, the whole thing, you know? And what I'm getting at is I was incredibly calmer and more trusting. And lo and behold, I would have little patches of money come in at exactly the right time, which is, I want to tell you, this is very different for me because I freak out over money. So thank you for pointing that out because I really believe that our sister network is that which feeds us.
I so agree. And feeds us, allows us then to go into relationship and allows us into go into romantic relationship or not, but gives us the fuel that we need to be there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's overlooked. It doesn't have the status that it needs to have, but our ancestors, our ancient ancestors, women spent all day, every day working together in a rhythm, you know, working in a field, picking, weaving, grinding, you know, making grains. All these kind of things are rhythmic, and they're things that really allow women to be strong.
Yes. Everywhere else in the world, until Disney, really, and Nicholas Sparks, everywhere else in the world, we don't count on our beloved to be a best friend and our confidant and our business partner and our plus one all of the time and the person that we unpack everything to. We do that here. And we do that here with 50 and 60% divorce rates. There's something off about what it is that we're counting on from our beloved versus what happened. Well, we could go back to the second sex and what happened with freeways, but we're missing out on friendship and we're missing out on this kind of relationship. So if we go back to the intro of the podcast says, let's change him by changing you. I think that this is it.
I'm in agreement.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I'm in full on agreement. The other two that are in this book that I'm just starting to touch on are serotonin and endorphin. So again, I'm just really at the front edge of not only reading, but playing with serotonin. She describes really well as the sense of belonging, that I belong in this group and I'm important in the group. I have some status in the group. And remember, status was tied to our survival in the tribe. When you had a higher, we think of status today as like some idiot that wants a BMW, but it's really not. It's mm-hmm. about being important and included, being part of something. And in our ancestors' time, a higher status meant that you had better access to food and spouses and care and everything else. But I'm just beginning to touch on that one.
Well, and the power of tribe. We, for the most part, in the West, don't have that. And don't have that status where status turns into the BMW or the house. I would love for this to be the place where you feel that. I would love for this to be the place where you feel you matter and you belong, and that there is always growth and there's always places where we are not where we want to be. And that this place here with Connie and I, and however this grows and however this develops, is that sense of belonging.
Yeah. I really, honestly, as a mental health person, I think belonging is at the core of everything. It's unspoken, it's invisible, it's under the waterline. We don't even know, but the feeling of not belonging will wreck the whole system in a bad way. We'll be, you know, really looking for something. I feel this, I feel this, I feel this. And if you stand back and listen and then get a map of their social world, it's like, I'm not part of I'm not in a safe way included in the people that matter.
Oh, which is the first 17 years of most of our lives.
Yeah.
So Connie, how do we find you?
Oh, you can find me at ConnieLawrenceCoaching.com and also on Facebook, then Connie Lawrence Coaching. And now I have my current website is Cleveland Psychodrama.
You can find more #BrainLove and Big Love. And stay tuned because we are going to be back around in a couple of weeks with more in the lab kinds of results for you. And then also plans for how is it that we can have you do this kind of thing in a life that is businesses and kids and families and dogs and, you know, like all of that. How is it that we can make this practical and apply it for late spring, early summer?
Yes, rock on.
Okay, rock on. Ladies, thank you for being here.
Thank you for listening. You can find me on social, Megan M. Riley, Facebook and Instagram. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe and share. And we will see you next week. We're going to get woo.